I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News and Liberty with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB, Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go.
News and Liberty.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. Welcome to New Soundwave 91. I'm so glad you joined us. So with me this week is our normal cast, minus Rob, plus JD, JD Church. JD comes to us via his own show, Fanboy Versus, and RFC, the mother show. Along for the ride, Peter, XV, like I said, new Rob, is away this week. But, like I said, in his stead, JD, we're going to talk StarCraft 2 with JD for a little bit. But first, real quickly, we would be remiss without mentioning that the World Finals of Fighting Games took place this weekend. Evolution 2011 took place in Las Vegas, the Rio Hotel. It was exciting. It was tremendous. If you're in the live chat, I will post highlights for you. One of the big highlights of the tournament actually this weekend was very embarrassing if you're somebody in your 30s and you still play fighting games, because an 8-year-old beat up on all us old men and actually made it to about top 48, I believe. Yes, 8 years old. So sad. So sad. Reminding us that, yes, we are playing video games. As serious as we make them, they are still video games. Also, can you compete with like those neurons and synapses in an 8-year-old brain? No, you can. He can practically predict
the future. On
the
other hand, you could argue that an adult has more
dexterity.
Yes. More
dexterity, what? Experience, strategy.
Logic.
I don't know. Logic, yes. No, the purity of an 8-year-old.
More of experience to actually play the damn game.
Sweet, sweet 8-year-old. Of course, if you're 8 years old and you've been playing these games, you can argue like you have way more as far as like a percentage of your life devoted to these games. Like, really, at like 20% of his entire life is devoted to video games, at least.
Anyway, I don't know. The 30-year-old could say the same thing.
Probably, only it's sad at that point, XV. It's not charming.
That's the point.
So, yeah. So I have posted highlights. By all means, check it out. This is actually one last thing before we jump to StarCraft 2. This is a tournament that you would call a top-tier tournament, by which I mean in every game, arguably the best character won the tournament. So the player playing the most powerful character won the tournament, and that has probably never happened before. So it's kind of interest to see what game balance means these days. People are so good that essentially when you get to the highest levels of gameplay, the characters do mean something. So interesting stuff, interesting stuff. Hey, let's jump to, guys, a group discussion with JD on StarCraft 2. So JD, to open this up, I traditionally play, and I think most of us traditionally play other genres, but my favorite genre is fighting games, and StarCraft II is a combat game. I mean, it is a competitive game, you versus someone else. So I am interested. My interest is piqued. I am going to give this game a serious shot this summer. So one of the things that you and I have talked about before this show is about, you know, the game itself and whether or not somebody could pick it up by watching matches, which are everywhere, by the way. Or if you got to learn the game itself. And I know you've said it's a mix of the two, so I'm doing a mix of the two. And if you want to jump in and talk about one of the most epic matches you've ever seen, and then a little bit about the game in general, by all means, take it away.
Sure. So this weekend, actually, before I did Fanboy Versus, following Twitter, I started to see all this chatter about this Boxer versus Rain match. Now, this weekend was the Major League Gaming StarCraft II tournament. I think it was out in Anaheim. Major tournament, a lot of pros actually from all over the world playing StarCraft II. Several tiers, basically it was best 2 out of 3, is typically the way they do those matches. So over on, they have a couple different channels and you can actually watch those games live. So I turn on the channel and I came in at the end of this match. I actually rewatched it today. It was Boxer versus Romero. It was the first round match for these two players in the semis. I won't go through the whole match, but let me just say it was one of the longest matches I've ever seen. Typically, on a one versus one, you know, player map like that, StarCraft 1 or StarCraft 2, you're talking about 20 minutes or so. Usually by the 20-minute mark, somebody has amassed, you know, enough armies and had enough small skirmishes to dominate the other player, and the other player will leave. This was an interesting match. The link is up in the chat. You know, it's interesting to watch because there's a lot of different things that happen. It's not the best match in terms of watching strategy, because what ended up happening for the most part between the two players, there's a couple of things that happened that led to basically a protracted stalemate. The map ended up getting divided basically diagonally, with one side being red player and the other side being blue, one being boxer, the other being rain. There was a couple of tech switches where they switch from mostly ground troops to mostly air troops. When you do those tech switches like that, it changes like your resource counts and those kinds of things. And then really what happened, I think, is both players were sort of waiting for the other to make a move. And that comes down to sometimes individual player strategy. Some player strategy is basically to wait for their opponents to make a mistake. But really, neither of these players did, at least in this first match. They amassed, you know, armies. They set they had this full DMZ. Probably one of the key moves is when Boxer switched, probably about halfway, from tanks to Thors. He lost a lot of ground control. And at that time, Rain had a lot of air troops that have like a surface air missile that does a lot of area effect damage.
Interesting. Yes. So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk to JD about I find interesting is that StarCraft II as a genre, it's kind of hard to pin down. You know, I mean, I've given it a shot. I've tried to kind of like equate it with different genres, and it's not really like, I guess it's a strategy game. I guess, I mean, the closest thing you could probably say is it's kind of like, I guess a land grab game. It's a game that's, you know, akin to trying to amass ownership of land. It's not, obviously not a fighting game, not a first-person shooter. It's kind of its own thing. And it's also, frankly, benefited from an entire country adopting StarCraft, obviously. yes, the Koreans love their StarCraft.
Oh yeah,
and when, you know, one of the things that is interesting when you watch StarCraft streams is StarCraft streams have like legit sponsors. So you'll see like a Dr. Pepper logo and like a U.S. Army logo. So it's like legit sponsorships, which is amazing. It speaks to like the mainstream, if you can call it as mainstream as video game gameplay gets, esports gets, it's probably StarCraft 2.
I'd say within the realm of the video game world, it is mainstream.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like the game to, I guess, watch as a spectator sport right now. Absolutely. So, anyway, I think JD got disconnected. If we get him back later in the show, we'll pick up this conversation. But to wrap up the StarCraft II stuff, just a little bit of news, which actually leads into another awesome topic. So StarCraft II is actually going to follow in the footsteps of World of Warcraft. They are going to let you play StarCraft II for free.
Whoa.
Instead of having to play, initially, you know, you used to have to pay to play. But now Blizzard has ditched the old trial system, and they're going to begin using essentially a taste test, if you will. So you'll be able to play multiplayer. You'll be able to play single-player missions for free. And then past a certain point, you're going to have to start paying. So it's called a Starter Edition. It's available to anybody with a Battle.net account. And that can be created for free as long as you have internet connection, of course. So that's an interesting way that StarCraft II is still obviously trying to prime the pump, trying to get new people to try the game. And I got to tell you, like, you know, a free trial like this, or at least like a free, you know, entry into a game is way more attractive to me than like, say, a demo where it's kind of like, you know, it's much more, it feels much more like a pressure play to get you to eventually pay. This feels like, well, I can play the game, like, no questions asked. If I don't like it, I'll stop where, you know, the free stops and just go on my way. I mean, do you guys kind of agree with that?
No, I think it's a really good model for this kind of thing, because I don't want to be locked in even for like a month's time paying if I end up hating the game within a couple of days. That's kind of, it's very off-putting. It doesn't really make me want to even give these a try when I have to pay for them up front.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this feels like, you know, I mean, it may be psychological, but they're giving you like part of the game, right? So, I mean, it's just the first few levels or it's a couple features, but it is the game and it is free. So that comes across, I think, a lot better than like the trial version of a game. Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely better from a marketing speak perspective.
Yes. Yes. It feels better. It feels better. Okay, so last story before we go to commercial break. We are rolling along on New Sound Wave. Diablo 3 is still without a release date, but the beta begins at the end of September. This week, Activision had a press conference, and the CEO did not want to put down an official release date, but he did say that they're working hard to ship the game before the end of the year. But he did say, however, we're not ready to commit to a release date at this time. Bum, bum, bum. That's not the story that I want to talk about. The real story is Diablo 3 is going to require players to be online in order to pay. And this is the big one. It's going to allow for items in the game to be auctioned off for real money.
All right, gold farming.
So, guys, is this like a good idea? I mean, this is essentially, it's going to work like eBay for Diablo stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's real money. It's not tokens. It's not funny money. It is actually like an auction for Diablo stuff. So, I mean, does this sound like a slippery slope? Does this sound like a decent idea? What do you guys think?
Ooh, well, I'm back, by the way. I'm sorry. I mean, the stuff like in WoW gets auctioned off all the time for real world money. So, you know. Why shouldn't Blizzard make a buck off it? I mean, they make a legitimate, safe, secure system for those things to be transferred.
How does that stuff, how does that, so, I mean, obviously, like you said, stuff gets auctioned off one way or another now. So, but how does that usually happen? Does that take place on eBay or other sites or what?
Yeah, it's with eBay. Sometimes it takes place on message boards, and it's highly unsafe. Secure. I mean, you know, there's no way to guarantee when you buy a product and when you buy a character or gold or like that you're actually going to get that product. And there's no real protections in place to make sure that you actually get those things. And not only that, I mean, it's against the, you know, the user agreement, you know, for the game itself. So it looks like World of Warcraft. You know, buying gold is illegal, buying items is illegal in terms of the game usage.
Yeah, and I know one of the things that they said is at least with this way, they're going to cut down on fraud and, you know, scamming, which, you know, you never think about it. But I guess that's a problem in every aspect of life. So I can't imagine people are selling fake stuff, but I guess they are for WoW and other things, which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
So, JD, you think this is a decent idea?
He's gone again.
Oh, he's gone again. I think I'm going to put words in his mouth and say yes, because that was kind of a rhetorical question. To end the segment, hey, we're going to go to commercial, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the 3DS. The 3DS is going down. It is struggling. It is having hard times. Hard times, buddy. And then we'll also talk about Arkham Asylum and some awesome, awesome skins for your Batman when Arkham City, I should say, comes out. So we'll be right back. This is New Sound Wave number 91.
Game Boy Color.
Get into it. Get into it.
Hello. the Game Boy Color in an adventure too big for just one game. Rated E for everyone.
Get into it.
What are friends? Friends are there to pick you up when you're feeling a little down. Friends are there to rearrange someone's face when they're acting like a clown. Friends are a hamster, a fish, and an owl in Kirby's Dream Land 2. If you ain't fighting on their side, well, man, I'd pity you.
Kirby's back in the Flappy Man for three rowdy friends. It's a pumped-up, powered-up Kirby in Kirby's Dream Land 2. New for Game Boy and Super Game Boy.
Will you be my friend?
Episode 1 Racer on Game Boy Color.
Get into it!
And there was something new, Chad!
Yo!
This is a Super Game Boy.
And it goes like this.
Plug Game Boy games into the Super Game Boy.
Plug Super Game Boy into the Super NES.
Check this out!
Game Boy games in color on TV.
It's amazing!
And games like Duke Donkey Kong.
You can change the borders.
And choose your own color.
That's funky.
How about Super Game Boy and all 350 Game Boy games?
Incredible.
New Soundwave.
Hey, everybody. We're back. Let's talk about the 3DS. The 3DS! Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Good news if you like to save money and you were on the fence for a 3DS. Bad news if you're Nintendo, or I guess the U.S. economy. Hey, from August 12th on, the price will be dropping from, let's see, $250, which we all thought was really, really pricey.
It's
to $170. So that's a drop of $80 just 5 months after the system's launch. Guys, the first question is, obviously, and we've got more on the 3DS. Oh, yes, we do. Just talking about the price cut itself. Does $170 sound, I mean, obviously it's cheaper, yes. Does that sound, I mean, are we getting close to it sounding like a fair deal, or does that still sound pricey?
For me, and I may just be weird in this, but $150 is a magic number for me.
So $150, you know, seriously consider it?
You know, get $149.99 or less, and it sounds like a good deal. Like I said, though, that's just my numbers thing.
No, but I mean, I totally agree. It does. You're right. When it gets, for some reason, when it gets under 150, all of a sudden it doesn't sound pricey. I think.
Well,
right,
remember,
now,
remember how in school when you were taught to estimate by rounding five and up to the next whole number, and you round down for the other ones. So once it drops below 150, your brain automatically is rounding it down, even though it's not going anywhere.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so here's a good question. So Diecast in the chat comes with the rebuttal offer for you, XV. So how does $169.99 sound with free games?
Depends on the free game.
Yeah.
Depends on the free games. Depends on the free games.
Is there any good games for the 3DS yet?
How maybe about some Game Boy Advance games?
What if they promise you free games?
Well, there's going to be essentially...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's essentially going to be... Okay, so here's the deal. There's essentially going to be 20 free games. They're downloadable games that are going to be...
That's for the early adopters, right?
Yes.
Free, yeah, they're for the early adopters who feel like they've been cheated out of $80 because they were.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
So
it's
kind of
like this is similar to the not as bad, you know, not the $100 price cut, but this is the, you know, the iPhone, you know, 2G price cut thing, right?
I mean, this is absolutely I don't hate us. You know, we're so sorry.
Yeah,
so here's some free games.
Yeah.
The sad thing is, like, there, I mean, like, some of these are so, like, Kirby and Super Mario Brothers 3. These are advanced games, Game Boy Advance games, so they're not 3DS games, which I guess is like a testament to the fact that there are no 3DS games. So yeah. We have to give out Game Boy Advance games. The other thing is that I want to talk about a little bit is, so the price cut happens 5 months after the system comes out. It finally gets the price down to something that's not outrageous. But when you think about it, starting next month in September, we're going to get Star Fart 3D. If it was Star Fart, I would pre-order it right now. But unfortunately, it's Star Fart.
It sounds like it could be a follow-up to Katamari.
It could. Or it could be like a mashup of Star Fox and Burger Time, which would be awesome. Star Fox is coming out. Super Mario's coming out. Mario Kart's coming out. Kid Icarus is coming out. And this is all before the end of the year, or by the end of the year. So, Star Fox, Mario Kart, and Kid Icarus are all going to come out just after this price cut. That's got to make it sting a little bit for Nintendo to have to like feel like they have to do this, right? I mean, in the face of all these games that are coming out. I mean, I would think so, right?
Maybe, but if they don't do this, then the games aren't going to sell to people who haven't bought a 3DS.
So it's like a chicken and egg, or it's like a can't win situation?
Sort of like, yeah, something like that.
I think they're trying to make up. I think it's kind of like they're just trying to make up for something that they screwed up really bad on.
Well, and think of this, too. You know, the 3DS has been producing really poor numbers for Nintendo compared to what they expected it to do. And the Christmas shopping season is right around the corner, frighteningly enough. You know, they got to do something to make this turn around. And if they drop the price $80, maybe they can get the volume to make up for what they're losing in the outright sale price.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and you got to think. Right. Go ahead, Peter.
No, I was just going to say that most of the time, that's how people gamble, right? They gamble, they lose money on the hardware, and they gamble on making money on the software. So that's a very fair assessment.
Yes, good points all. Final note on Nintendo, just in general. The leader of Nintendo, a gentleman named Iwata? Has taken a 50... Iwata, I think, isn't it? Something like that. Anyway, their chief. Some guy...
I'm making bad jokes, ignore me.
Some rich guy who runs Nintendo is taking a 50% pay cut in his annual salary.
Well, he's not so rich anymore, is he?
His annual salary is $2 million. So, yeah. So, you know, he's hurting.
You bet.
Directors close to the project, close to the 3DS project, will see a 30% pay cut, whether that's voluntary or not, like the chief is.
I'm pretty sure it is not.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah. And then other executives will get about a 20% pay cut. So Nintendo is not happy, clearly, with the 3DS and its performance.
So here's one last question on the 3DS thing. Are we looking at another Virtual Boy?
I think it's a little too early to call it that, but I mean, it's got you know, a bit of a legs thing. It's got to find time for its sea legs. I mean, 3DS is a little ahead of its time, you know, like 3D TVs. Yeah, like 3D.
Yeah, I mean, the DS struggled. Yes, that's true. The DS struggled, and frankly, this is their handheld, and I can't imagine they're going to let it fail. So they're going to do whatever they can to make it work. I mean, clearly they're cutting it by $80 in five months. I mean, they're just probably not going to let it happen.
Yeah,
that's a question. So I got a couple questions. Oh, go ahead, Peter.
No, I just think that it's I think it's still too early to tell. Yeah, the $80 cut is big, but I think they just haven't had the time to release these games that are appealing yet. And like John was saying, like all these games are coming out very, very soon. So I think Nintendo was hoping that they could hold out without cutting, but since it's just been the backlash has been so bad that they need to spur up some sales before these games come out. So.
And the chat actually brings up a really good series of points. So, you know, one of the things you have to think about is, of course, the PlayStation Vita is coming out, the PS Vita. it's coming out. So the price cut may be kind of a way to jump in front of that to make sure that there's a clear price difference between the PlayStation handheld and the 3DS handheld. Nintendo's always had a price advantage versus Sony, so they want to keep that going. The 3DS technology itself is not too unique anymore. I mean, it's getting increasingly more common, glassless 3D technology. And then, you know, of course, that they're still going to make a profit. Probably, we're going to say, probably at $170. Clearly, it's not going to be like the profit it was, but they're probably going to make a little bit of money off the 3DS. The other thing that I wanted to ask you guys is, do you think that some of the points that were made in the chat, do you think that the poor performance of the 3DS is at all because of, say, smartphones and the increasing gaming time that people are spending on their smartphones? Do you think that's putting a damper on, oh, it's a handheld system and it's not a phone, but, you know, that's always been sufficient to be a Nintendo handheld. But now with smartphones, that's starting to be less and less cut and dry. I mean, people are really starting to go somewhere else for their gaming. Do you guys think that's having an effect with 3DS?
Yeah, I think it's... I think people are probably looking less at... You know, more and more your devices are consolidating into one device now. So it's not surprising that it would do that because... Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know, I have everything now on my phone. Why would I have another device? And it's just like,
and
3DS.
Phones can do pretty decent graphics these days, like smartphones, right?
Yeah, exactly. They can do, you know, a lot of games, and they can do a lot of things like graphics wise that they can already kind of, I guess you could say, rival 3DS in terms of being able to play games, but. And it's probably, you know, that's right, because it's, you know, the PSP Vita is coming out. So with how slow the sales are going, Nintendo is hoping to undercut, you know, PlayStation, Sony with that, with their PSP. So, and then they're also hoping to appeal more to the people who would normally not get it, like with all these new features like the video and the downloads and the stuff like that. So
absolutely. And, you know, again, like the games on the phones, chat brings up this again. They're $5, like at tops, yeah. Maybe $10 for like the most advanced game for your phone. Yeah. And, you know, Game Boy games and certainly the PlayStation Vita games are going to be at least $40.
Right.
So that's kind of a shock to the system when people put two and two together. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see if this price cut helps. And I'm certain that the games coming out this fall that we talked about a little bit, those have got to help. This will definitely help. Hey, last story of the day. Then it's we'll just end on a high. We pasted this in the chat, so if you're listening to the chat, you'll be looking at this right now as we speak. Arkham City pre-orders are going to consist of costumes for your Batman, your Batman, and they are awesome. They are glorious. They are spectacular.
They look so good,
so good, so good. Batman Beyond, The Dark Knight Returns, Earth One Batman, 1970s Batman, Adam West, animated series Batman, and normal Batman. Just for reference, yeah. You will see. Very nice. Hey, Peter.
Yes, sir.
Did you watch the Batman cartoons growing up?
Yeah, I did. It was one of the only things I was on broadcast, so I could actually watch it. Yeah.
Nice. Do you have a favorite?
I mean, obviously as I revisited the animated, that was definitely really good. I actually liked Beyond when I was a kid. I thought that was pretty good. It only lasted like 2-3 seasons, I think. I don't think it lasted that long.
Beyond? I think it lasted 3 seasons, didn't it?
Something like that. No more than that, for sure.
It definitely
didn't
last. It
was like 2 full seasons and then a few episodes, I think, or something like that.
It's 3 seasons, 52 episodes, so it got truncated. Definitely truncated. But the animated series lasted much longer, right?
In several iterations.
Yeah,
it lasted. Split between Fox and WB.
But it's the same continuous series, right? I mean, it was the same, you know,
more or less
the director and
Yeah, well, I mean, all that stuff was technically all in the same continuity anyway.
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
All the way through, what's its face? Ultimate Justice League. Or Justice League Unlimited. Yes, yeah. That's it.
That's when I started getting lost, because that's when it went to Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, that's once it hits cable, I'm done. I'm gone.
You missed out, dude.
You should check out the WB episodes again, because they get really weird. And they're underappreciated.
I actually have a lot of them actually here. So whenever some days I get a little, you know, just there's nothing on TV or anything like that, and I don't feel like watching Netflix, I just pop one in and I just
Batman Beyond gets a bad rap. Batman Beyond got pretty good at the end.
I like this.
Batman Beyond's biggest problem was really crappy villains.
Yes. Yeah. And that was on purpose at the beginning.
And it's really telling that the episode of the series most people remember is the one that has Mr. Freeze in it.
Which was good.
Oh, it was good, and that's the whole point. That was the good episode from early in the series.
You didn't like the hypnotic, like, substitute teacher?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who looked like, I don't know, a giant piece of spiral candy, I guess. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. He was terrifying. Beats the hell out of Poison Ivy. I'm trying to think, like, who else... So there was the guy who could cancel out sound.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, he had the chip light. Yeah. And then there was Blight, who was the main arch nemesis of the...
Oh, yeah.
Which completely went somewhere.
Yeah, I was about to say, wasn't he in like an episode and a half, maybe?
No, he was there for a while.
He figured pretty heavily into the Mr. Freeze episode.
He did. And then, he was in the beginning.
And amounted to absolutely nothing.
No, it was at the beginning and showed how he became Blight, and then, you know, he fought him for a little bit, then he disappeared, and then he and Mr. Freeze went at it. And I think the series
Did they both die in that episode? When did Blight die?
No. Blight didn't exactly die on screen, but he went down in the sinking sub.
Okay. All right.
But he's radioactive. He doesn't have to die.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I think that's why he was in a sub that's already made to contain a radioactive system.
Ooh, look at that.
But he could maybe get that pilot sub.
See, I can't process that. I can't think that.
Which one is the fat asks, Batman is the Dark Knight, right? From the Dark Knight series.
It's the one where they pay homage to the Dark Knight Returns, and I think, what is it, Golden Age Batman, something like that.
So he's old as freaking dirt.
Yes, we all get fat.
He became like Sly Stallone. He was just like, oh, I'm old, but I need to get in shape, so I'm just going to start taking like steroids and HGH and just pump myself up, but still be having like...
So it's killed Batman.
And still have like the 55, 60-year-old fat going on there without losing it, and he's just hulked out. He's pretty... I heard that series... There was never a series for it, right? There's just a comic book series for it, right? It was like novel or something for it.
For what? Dark Knight Returns?
Yeah.
They're going to make a direct-to-video or direct-to-whatever you want to call it.
Direct-to-video is the right term for it.
Okay, we'll go with that. They're going to do one of those of it. They're going to do an animated adaptation of it.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. Okay, so, it's gonna be cool. Okay.
It's one of those things where they say, you know, we're going to make it really faithful to the comic, which essentially means if you've read the comic, this will
you don't need to watch the movie.
Of time. Yeah, I know.
Unless it's like All-Star Superman, where they kind of do it wrong.
Yes, that's right. So you're only going to have an opportunity to like nitpick, where they got it just a bit wrong. You will not enjoy this in any way if you've read the book.
And see, that's why I like the DC animated features, because I don't read the damn comic books.
Yes.
All my exposure to comic book world is through cartoons.
Yes. So I'm exactly the same. And which is awesome, because DC Animated is really good for the most
part. Well, I mean, my Batman is the Bruce Tim Paul Dini Batman.
Yes.
Period.
Totally agree.
The one thing I'm kind of confused about in these suits is that the animated one, he didn't look like that the whole time. He just, like... Further along in the series, he just changed his Batman logo, and they never really referenced it, right?
Well, you know, the Batman logo was only with the yellow shield on it in the first place to tie into the movie.
Yes.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because it kind of like he inexplicably changed. Like he had the yellow, you know, the original yellow one, and then out of nowhere, he just got.
Look at the difference between the belts too.
Yeah, it's a little different because he used to have the yellow one as well in the original, in the Batman the Animated Series, right?
And then when they did the redesigns, when they moved to the WB series, I guess it went a little more to the comic book classic approach with the no colored shield on the chest and the pouches instead of the magic slidey belt thing.
You know what series is actually good though? The Batman.
Did you like that series?
You didn't like it?
I couldn't get into it. I couldn't get into a Joker that looks like a like an ogre with bare feet and it was these weird like perversions of the villains and I don't know, I just couldn't get into it. Although I hear that series got really good, like in the second season.
Yeah, it progressively got better. It's one of those that kind of like picked itself up. No, what?
The fifth season, it got good.
No, the Batman only lasts two seasons or two or three seasons.
If it was a Cartoon Network seasons though, to get good. This is not a good show.
Going back to these skins for just a minute, I have to say, looking at between the Batman Beyond one and the animated style one, they really should have made the Beyond one more toward the animated style, because this comic book style is just scary, and it's not scary in a way that you are intimidated by it. It's scary in a way that it's gross looking.
Yeah, it's like it's Terry like McGinnis. Black. You took a bit too many steroids.
Yeah, one thing, guys, if you're looking at the if you're still looking at the skins following us along, you'll notice that the body types are different too. So they're really not calling them skins is probably not doing them justice. They actually did change the body types.
I really want to know how this works. Like, I know you purchased them, but can you
wear?
Yeah, it depends. So you get the Batman Beyond skin from
if
GameStop.
If you live in the UK, apparently.
If you live in the UK, or if you buy from GameStop. GameStop UK is offering it. I'm sure that means GameStop USA is offering it. Dark Knight Returns, you get that person, I would call it, I guess, model. You'll get that Dark Knight Returns model if you get the collector's edition version of the game.
That's 100 smacks, man.
100 smacks, baby. 100
although
smacks.
Although it's pretty sweet. If you have you seen what's inside that collector's edition?
No, what's in it?
Oh man, there's some good stuff in there. Hang on a second. Keep going, and I'll we'll talk.
You get the Earth One Batman from purchasing from. I think right now we've only got the UK retail.
That's not even UK. That's New Zealand.
Oh, it's New Zealand, but I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, look at the look at the domain name.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So I'm sure Earth One Batman will be scooped up by an American online retailer. So look for that. 1970s Batman will be Toys R Us. And then animated series Batman will probably be another retailer to be determined online. You can probably guess.
Hilarious though, if some of these were only available in England and New Zealand.
I think that's the way that you kind of got to go somewhere to, like, you know, around the world, you know, to get these costumes. I just posted the link in the chat for the collector's edition.
Oh, nice.
And it's got some pretty sweet stuff in here. It's got you pretty much get a custom Batman statue. You get an art book. You get Iceberg Lounge Challenge map and the Batman Dark Knight's Return skin. And you also get the album of the songs from Arkham City.
From The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess the part that kind of like threw me off and that I kind of want it is that custom statue.
Really?
It's kind of cool.
I got to tell you, every time I buy, and I've only bought like maybe three in my lifetime, but every time I've bought a collector's edition of a video game, I have almost instantly regretted it.
Oh, really?
It's a bunch of junk. like, no offense, Batman fans, it's a bunch of junk that you'll look at and you'll put right in the collector's box and you'll never look at it again. And then you think to yourself, I just paid 50 more bucks for this stuff.
Yeah, so. I can say that I have never splurged to get the collector's edition before. But I heard the ones that actually are fun are like the Call of Duty ones.
Yeah, Halo's supposed to have a good one too. I don't know.
I don't know.
Halo. Oh my god! So Diecast in the chat. We'll wrap it up after this. But Diecast in the chat says the Halo 3 collector's edition was $150.
What came with that? Yeah. An ammo box? It looked
like a helmet.
I think you got a Spartan helmet.
Yeah, you got a Spartan helmet. You got a functional handgun. A cat-sized helmet.
Was it a cat-sized? So,
like you for your cat or small dog.
So you your cat became a Spartan? Like, is that what happened? Like,
yes, he hulks up when you put it on a cat. It actually roids out the cat, to be honest. and a couple discs. Of course, it came with a couple discs of extras. Again.
The Halo 3 Collector's Edition comes with no media of any kind.
It would be awesome if the game sold separately. At some point, that's going to happen. You're going to have like a collector's edition Sans game. I think we'll wrap it up on that point. Halo 3, hella expensive. And if you buy collector's edition video games, I guess, God help you, you may regret it. I know I did. So that's going to do it for New Soundwave 91. Thank you guys for watching. And thank you to Peter XV and the In and Out JD. Until next time, I'm John DeLuda. We'll see you next week.
JD's in and out of your mom.
Oh, snap.
2-1-0. Game over. And this is a spell I use in my garden, Your Highness. Watch.
It's getting bigger.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.